from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Shoot 360. Big Step is out there at Shoot 360. Brand new 50,000 square foot facility with NBA courts, high school courts, shooting bays. You want to get better at the game of basketball? That's where you can do it. Get that passing drill, shooting drill, dribbling drill. It's all out there. It's all immersive, interactive. You'll notice a difference in your Hooper's game. With the time at Shoot 360, get out there and see him today.
1375 Big Orange Road. That is the new location that John speaks of. 50,000 square feet. Huge. But the old facility, which has been recently renovated, so when I say old, it's not really old. It's been updated. It's out at 85 Market Center Drive. Still open, and your membership will count towards both. So, again, you can get to the hoop quick. No matter where you are in Memphis now with the two locations, Thaddeus Young has invested in this technology because he knows it's the way of the future. Everybody's going to be on this stuff. So don't get passed by. Don't get caught up. Get your son, your daughter, your niece, nephew. You want to get them better at basketball in a way that they're going to absolutely love. See, I have a hard time getting my son to practice on his own, do it in the backyard. You get him out to Shoot 360, they love it because it's like a video game. You look up, they're better. So get him out there. It's the future basketball training. It's happening right here at Shoot 360 Memphis.
Hour 3. Have you heard this song, by the way, or is this your first
time? It's actually my first time. Is that Wheezy? And
No.
I thought I heard Wheezy.
It's
Big Dogs featuring Call Me.
Is Hanuman Kind.
I have no idea who this is.
He's an Indian rapper. He's an Indian rapper.
I thought that was Wheezy back.
Number one on iTunes. My kid bumping this thing.
Yeah,
it's
all over TikTok.
Jake loves this song.
He borrowed there from Project Pat.
Yeah, he's got
I can hear that part.
Yeah. So there you have it, Jason.
Man, I would have bet $2 that was Wheezy.
Yeah. It's got that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, man, maybe a little stolen flow as
well.
Yeah. Well, he does acknowledge it though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He mentions Project Pat.
Both of them, Wheezy and Pat, felt like the flows were kind of ripped. But this is what the kids are listening to.
Jake is loving that song.
Yeah, it's all over the talk. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
for introducing it to me.
Well, we're gonna get the Jake playlist from Brad.
Trust me, this is not off my
list.
This
is like walk up music for them at Lausanne. Is that
that's what they're playing right there?
Yeah,
Humankind.
Big Stepper.
Yeah, I'm like, what the
Shout
hell
out
is
Project
that?
Pat.
But you know, what's crazy about Project Pat is obviously in Memphis, we've been bumping them for 2 decades,
right? Yeah,
but people nationally almost didn't, or maybe it was this generation, didn't even know about him until that Drake verse.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And it's like, bro, that might be like some of his worst work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't bad, but you know, like listen to Gorilla Pimp, you know, go listen to, what was that? I even liked the album he put out, man, in like 2007. I don't remember the name of it. You'll have to forgive me, but even his solo stuff, bro, Crook by the Book, 06. That was one of my, I used to love that album, bro.
I was raised in the projects.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Then he said, the other one was tell. Stop snitching.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great one, bro. Then you had, I ain't going back to jail. I was 15 years old bumming that, bro. And then you can't forget Good Googly Moogly. Still say that to my, that's what I say when I wake up Dom. I wake him up, I say, Good Googly Moogly. He loves it. He thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, Pat had a lasting impact on you.
Bro, Pat was the man. I'm a little disappointed that we haven't had him on. I believe we tried once, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we got close there once.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we couldn't get it over the finish line. There was some interest. But, you know, Project Pat is a guy that definitely has had not just a lasting impact, you know, in Memphis, but on hip-hop at large. I mean, and you can hear it in that song, right? And you can hear it in Drake, when the last album he put out.
Mm-hmm.
That was his most popular song, you know, from that album.
Yeah.
And it's all influenced by the Project Pata.
Well, I appreciate you making this Project Pat Appreciation Day.
Hey, man, shout out to Pat, man.
I know he appreciates it.
Hey, again, I believe in giving people flowers. I believe in giving
respect today.
You know, because I think that's the thing that, like, I was thinking about this, and not that we intended to go here, but, like, if I have the privilege to know when it's my time to go, right? Like, if I know, like, okay, I'm getting ill, I'm getting sick, like, I'm in hospice, right? Like, and you just kind of, not everybody gets that privilege. But if I do get that privilege, tell me how you feel about me then. Just tell me. Let me know right here, right now, while I'm in this situation, I'm about to ascend to the upper room, or maybe, as you would say, the lower room. But
right first.
But don't let me go without telling me how you feel about me.
Right.
I don't, you know, and maybe that happens. Maybe that does happen. But, like, whatever you are going to write on a social media post, you know, tell me right now. Let me know that before I go.
But you still may do things.
You might.
Later, right? If they write it now, you may impact them later.
Well, no, I'm not saying tell me now. I'm saying, you know,
when it's go time for you.
Yes, when it's my time to go.
Before you go out.
Let me know. So that I can, that's what
that
I.
You want them to tell you the impact you had on them.
Exactly. Don't let me drift away, right, before you tell me that. Like, my kids.
We hope we're all blessed enough to be in a situation like that. And don't know how that it works out like
but
that.
But I also believe in that. Like, maybe that it doesn't have to be as, like, you know, fatalistic as, like, oh, you're dying. But also, like, when people are, like, you know, still in their careers, they're still playing, like, let's not wait until somebody retires.
Well, that's why we do Respect Burgers every month.
Yeah, like, I think that's a good practice, you know, like, a lot of times people don't express their opinions, you know, about people until it's over. Like a work colleague, like, oh man, you know, like, you should just tell people in your day to day, man, you're doing a damn good job, and I'm honored to work with you. Or I think, you know, just things like that. You know, I just feel like we could use a little bit more of that in our day to day.
Very uplifting from you.
And that's why I'm like, yo, Pat. You know, Pat, he's not doing it in the way he used to do it. You know, as grinding as the way he used to do it in the early 2000s, but he's still out here. You know what I'm saying? So his impact is profound in hip hop, you know?
Agreed.
And if anybody's gonna give him if nobody else gives him his flowers, we're gonna do that on this show.
And you have done it very thoroughly.
I wonder if he feels like when he hears that. Does he feel like flattered? Does he feel like annoyed or irritated by it? I'm just kinda curious how you think he might feel.
Who?
Pat. When he hears people like copy his flow, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I probably understands at this age in his life that at this point in his life that is a form of flattery. That means that they liked something that you did.
Right.
You don't take it the wrong way.
It's like homage.
Now, if they're stealing my stuff and there's, you know, they're taking money out of my pocket, we're going to go take them to court.
I'll be honest. I think the right thing to do would be on the remix, get Pat on it.
Right.
I think that's a way to, like, you cut him in on the money, like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I would do.
But y'all said this is a guy from India?
Yeah, but he's been in America, though. He's lived in America. He's lived in Houston. He's lived in a lot of different places. Like, I actually looked into the guy, like, what he's all about. His dad was, like, an oil. He calls himself an oil baby. So he was going around from place to place to place to place, you know, moving around with his dad. He was in the United States for a long time. So Hanuma Kine, I think is his Yeah,
that sounds right.
It sounds right.
I mean, it looks like humankind, but he's got this kind of weird spelling of it.
That's his name, Hanumankind. So now you've been put on.
Y'all put me on to something.
Now you've been put on. All right, we have Gabe Kuhn joining us in just a little bit at 125. But you were just telling me during the break that you're excited for this weekend, not just because it's a chance for you to recharge and refresh and recalibrate and reflect and explore, but also it's an opportunity for you once again to see your starting quarterback in action on NFL Network.
We are Chicago Bears Central around here.
That's right.
And I'm enjoying it.
And Brad, I'm sorry.
Brad thinks it's a bad thing, but it's going to be good for
rating. I'm excited to watch them back this S up.
To John's point he's making is that for the second straight Saturday at noon, I get to watch my team on NFL Network as the Bears take on. Yeah.
Hey.
Last week got a chance.
Okay, I'll give you flowers.
To see Caleb and make his preseason debut. And this week they will take on a team they're going against in joint practices right now, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
That's a noon game tomorrow. But you got Falcons, Ravens, Giants, Texans, Lions, Chiefs. And depending upon how long the starters go, that's a pretty good one. That one's at Arrowhead. Vikings, Browns, Seahawks, Titans, Cardinals, Colts, Commanders, Dolphins, Bills, Steelers, Jets, Panthers. Got a pretty full slate of games tomorrow and then a couple on Sunday. But, yeah, man, I mean, whether it's Caleb or the rest of these rookies, they've all looked good. I figure we'll see more of Penix against the Ravens as well. But these rookie quarterbacks, for the most part, you know, and it's a bummer for J.J. McCarthy, who's out for the season. He had looked good in his debut. But for the most part, I've been looking forward, not just to him, but seeing what's next for Jaden Daniels. You know, can he be as good as he looked in that one drive last week against the Jets, against the Dolphins? You know, it really looks like they've got something there. So it's just and here's the other part. I would think that in a lot of these situations, I think Bears included, you're going to see your star quarterback or your starting quarterback or whatever else your ones go for, you know, whether it's a quarter, whether it's a half. This is the game where you play those guys. You don't wait till that preseason game before the season to do that. That used to be the old dress rehearsal. I think most of them are going to be this weekend. So point being, you should get a lot of action from the ones this weekend out of a lot of these games.
Yeah.
This is where you
the
play
ramp
them.
Up.
Yeah.
Definitely. I have quite a bit of preseason this week.
I mean, there's a ton of games.
Yeah, I have.
Just right there on Saturday.
We have Cowboys-Raiders here on the station Saturday night.
Thank you. I should have mentioned it. I'm glad you did.
So I've got the over in that game.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit going this weekend. I'll tell you what I have. I've got...
you got action, you mean?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9
Doesn't
bets.
Mean it.
You're making some money this weekend.
I don't know about that. I'll try.
You say that there's opportunities in this preseason, though.
Yeah, there definitely can be, especially if you get out early. So I've got... I'll give you the sides that you'll be interested in, Jason. I've got the Bears -5.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we had Adam yesterday, and he said -3, but...
And it's up to 6.5, so you got a better number than what it is now.
Yeah, I still think... I think, you know, with all the injuries that the Bengals have had, and you guys are playing starters and they're not...
Everybody says their offense is pedestrian without Jamar in it.
Yeah, so...
Burrow's good, but if you don't have Jamar out there, and they likely won't...
Exactly.
Then you should be good to go.
I've got Chiefs -4. Their starters are apparently playing a quarter. I've got San Francisco +3. Dennis Allen, who is the coach of the Saints, who the 49ers are playing... doesn't know what a metaphor is.
Mm-hmm.
And so any chance...
That's when you locked in the bet.
I'm getting home, the home team. I think I would play Shanahan getting points against Dennis Allen if Ed McCaffrey was the quarterback. Like today. Like the dad of Christian. If he was quarterback, I would take the 3 at home with Shanahan versus Dennis Allen. To be clear.
Understood.
No, I thought the 49ers... competed against the Titans starters. They weren't playing any starters last weekend, and it was a very close game on the road with two scores from Levis there. So I think, you know, at home, Dobbs and those guys can do enough. And he's talking about starters potentially playing. That number's now is 49ers -1.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd be getting out in front of these numbers, bro.
I see.
I got to. They send my bets to the trader. They're like, oh, here he comes. Yeah, they do move on my action sometimes, which is kind of funny to see. Like, if I bet it at 3, it might go to, like, let's say if I'm +3, in, like, 5 minutes, it might be 2.5. It's kind of crazy to see that happen, you know?
Everybody's just following in your wake.
Well, it's just they're like, oh, he might be sharp.
What you've achieved now in the betting world.
But I'm not winning. I'm not really winning in preseason, so I'm not sure what the hell I'm doing wrong. I don't know why people are moving on my action. But, yeah, I'm excited about that. Again, I don't know how much Daniels we're going to see this weekend. It sounds like he's going to play, but probably won't get too much work because he's starting. Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's no debate about that. Mariota could not look more washed. I mean, they're not even playing him at this point. He's terrible. So I don't know how many young guys we'll see this weekend, but Caleb Williams is one of them. So I'm looking forward to get out there, you know, get a couple touchdowns for me, big fella. You know what I'm saying? Very demure, you know what I mean? And we'll go from there.
Just take the under on Bills Steelers because Russ is playing.
Russ is playing, but also Josh Allen is playing. Did you see that news? They're going to play him for a quarter and a half.
They need to because they pulled him, what, after two series?
Yeah.
It wasn't a quarter against the Bears. They're going to see how low the ceiling is with Russ. But Justin's already lost the job, it feels like.
Yep.
You know, but they're gonna see that. Again, we'll see on Ayuk. That doesn't feel like there's been any movement there in terms of that trade, that potential trade with the Steelers there. But if it's George Pickens and Russell Wilson, that ain't going to go very far.
No.
And unfortunately, Fields, while he represents maybe a higher ceiling, he can't hold on to the ball.
Yep.
So, they want Justin Fields to be their quarterback of the future. They know Russ is not that. I just think they're going to find that they got to move on quite possibly from both of them after this season.
Yes, yes. I think that's probably the likelihood. But anyway, that's the preseason week
Let's go.
Two. And then we got one more. Where it's going to be.
I wouldn't play any of my starters.
I doubt anybody will.
We're too close.
So you got that, and then
you said it's Chiefs Ravens is the first one.
That's right. No, it's is it? Yeah, Chiefs Ravens. It is.
Woo-hoo.
And then you have Eagles Packers the next day,
Friday game.
Correct.
Man,
yeah, a lot of people like the Ravens in the Chiefs game, but I kind of don't. I kind of don't at all. I kind of like Chiefs in that opener. Because the Ravens, obviously, we already talked about it. Mike McDonald's now in Seattle, so the DC's gone. You lost a few pieces defensively. I'm just not. Are they really going to go on the road and win at the Super Bowl champs? I mean, the Chiefs went into Baltimore as 4.5 underdogs in the playoffs and won pretty comfortably in the AFC title game.
Well, that's because Baltimore tried to play their game, which was stupid.
Exactly. I mean, you would think they won't do that again.
I still remember Lamar threw 37 passes.
No,
it's like you're not doing that.
Exactly.
You have to stick to your script.
That, man, you are so right. You are so right.
We talked about it that game. The OC is what lost them that game.
Dude, Chiefs.
They had run over people.
The Chiefs ran the ball 32 times to the Ravens 16. It's almost like the Chiefs played the Ravens game, and the Ravens didn't know what to do.
You got outcoached. A lot of people have put that on Lamar. It's not. It's on your coaching staff.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Reed worked them.
Yeah. And also, Lamar got sacked 4 times. You know, again, you drop back 37.
You're dropping him back.
Yeah, it's going to happen. No, you're right.
You've been run all year long, ran over everybody.
You're so right. That was just a strategic mistake. And I can't believe that they didn't really seem to adjust, at the half. Like, it was still a game. It was only 17-7.
They were going to prove to us they could win it on Lamar's arm. That's what they're going to prove.
Yeah.
It's a bad plan.
But anyway, NFL preseason cranking up. All right, we'll come back. Gabe Kuhn going to join us. We'll talk to him about Memphis football being projected to win the league, how they'll handle that, Liberty Bowl updates, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Artie Turner, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Gabe Kuhn's the host of the Gabe Kuhn Show. Former offensive lineman at the University of Memphis was part of that foundation that got it rolling over in Memphis. Joins us now. What's up, big dog?
Fellas, how we doing? I'm doing well.
So you look up.
I'm hanging out.
Appreciate you joining us.
When you're out there on that football field, I know you obviously your job is to protect the quarterback. That's priority number one, and open up those running lanes. But do you at least sit back and do you admire that beautiful press box that is no longer when you're on the field? How often did that happen in your time at Memphis?
Never times. I never worried about it.
That's what I thought.
After I got done though, and I got into what I got into, and I had to, visit that press box a few times. I was okay with seeing it go yesterday. It was wild. It was wild to see it come down the way it did. But I was talking to Jeff about it yesterday on the show. I thought, even if you have some thoughts of, being emotional that it's coming down, if you've written, multiple columns in there, I think it was pretty badass. Like, just watching the demolition
Yes.
of a stadium in general is pretty cool in itself.
Yeah, no, I it was crazy. I was actually up in that press box. I was tweeting. I was tweeting during these games. I was like, "Who is 71? He keeps blowing his assignment." That's what I was.
What the hell is he doing downfield in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl? Why is Phil Mayhew's touchdown getting called back?
That's right. Damn. That's right. He was constantly getting flagged. That's what I just remember that. But so listen, there is a. We talked about it earlier. There is a price of progress, and that's. But damn, man! Like, how do you think this is going to look this season?
Not good. I don't know how it's going to look good. One half of the stadium's going to be gone. They're going to be picking up rubble. So I hope they show just the away side of the stadium for the year on the TV copies. But it's not going to look great. It is kind of frustrating that, in the year where the expectations for this program are the highest, in a year where, everything's out in front of you, you could reach new heights, you're only going to have 32,000 in the stadium every week. It's going to be tough for people to get in there at times, depending on the game. And, you have to look over and see all the rubble for half the stadium. So, it's not ideal, but I think you put it a good way. I mean, there's a price of progress, and you just have to put up with these moments so we can move into the future. They need this stadium done if they ever want to get where they want to go as a athletic department in general. So, hey, no better time than the present to go ahead and make things happen.
I think talking to you, Gabe, you're on the same boat. But we've made it very clear here. AAC title or bust. I mean that right. That is the expectation. However fair or unfair, that's where the program, sort of is right now. But I am, and I'll say this, and maybe I've gotten overly concerned about it. And you can straighten me out if I have. The fact that your three toughest conference games are on the road, and the fact that UTSA and Tulane do not have to play each other just does feel like it is an advantage. And I know both of those schools have a lot to replace in terms of quarterback and everything else for Tulane, a coach. But I am concerned about that you're going to have to be playing your best football, or certainly a version of it, on the road. And while, the teams that you're theoretically going to be trying to beat out for that conference title trip are not even going to have to face each other.
Right. And I don't know if you've just, taken a look up and down UTSA's schedule, but it's got to be the easiest conference schedule I have ever seen.
FPI thinks they're going to go undefeated. That's why Dinich picked UTSA instead of Memphis. To your point, that computer spit out that they're going to be, they're going to beat Memphis in that game down there and win every game on their schedule. To your point, except for the Texas game.
So they play, East Carolina, mm-hmm. Rice,
yep.
Florida Atlantic, Tulsa, North Texas, and Temple, and Army outside of Memphis. Like, that is as easy as it gets.
It really is, man.
I think you're looking at situations where on the field I'm not as scared as UTSA and Tulane as I have been in the past.
Right.
But when you look at their schedules and how everything could shake out, it really could put them in a good position to make the playoffs. And I think when we look outside of this conference, we have a similar situation brewing between Boise State and Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boise State is a terrifying roster. You have Malachi Nelson, a five-star quarterback coming in. Ashton Gentee is one of the best running backs in college athletics this year, quite frankly.
Yep.
You have a good defense. Spencer Danielson, their coach, has been doing well, but they have a really good roster. I'm not scared of Liberty's roster at all, but guess what? They play no one.
Mm-hmm.
Their hardest game is on the road against App State. So I think you have this weird dynamic you're dealing with in the group of five. There are teams that have scary rosters and harder schedules, and teams that don't have scary rosters but have these just cakewalk schedules. And, in this conference, I fear South Florida's roster almost more than anybody else's, but their schedule's a little bit harder. So I'm with you. I find it strange. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I think that Memphis has a better roster.
Yep.
Than UTSA, Tulane, and just anybody in this conference. But going on the road, having to deal with, a raucous crowd, if you will. We'll see what UTSA looks like, but they've been filling up the Alamo Dome. Tulane's done good with that smaller stadium. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them.
I was just going to say, to your point on Liberty, if they, because they could very well go undefeated, which they did last year and were rewarded for it by making a New Year's Six Bowl, and then they get absolutely clocked. But if they do it again, and I'm talking about picking Liberty to go in on an undefeated schedule, it feels like you're setting a bad precedent, and maybe this would it's just a group for scheduling, right? That we're going to continue to reward, which had been wasn't the case, which you'd always led us to believe that scheduling does matter and going out and play people matters. Well, last year it didn't, so you better get back to it, is the way I'm looking at it as it applies to Liberty this year.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say. I think last year was just different in the fact that Liberty was undefeated, and then the best team outside of Liberty last year was going to be SMU with two losses.
True. Very true.
So there's that
good point.
Difference.
Good call.
If there's only a one-loss difference, I think they land on a team from,
That's a good point.
Whether it's Sun Belt, AAC, yep. or Mountain West. I think they land on that team. But that two-loss difference is where you run into a
Liberty
problem. And I also wonder, on top of your wonder, I wonder about the precedent. I wonder if the committee just looks at last year and looks at this roster that's not all that changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same exact roster for Liberty. Same coaching staff, same everything. I wonder if they look at last year and they're like, Oregon just beat them within an inch of their life. Do we really want to go down this path again?
Exactly.
Do we really want to see them just get absolutely splattered? Or even if somebody has two losses, can we move in the right direction? They did it to Florida State last year.
That's right.
Well, Florida State was undefeated.
Yeah.
Right? But they projected the fact
right.
that, they don't have their starting quarterback.
Oh, you're right.
Killed.
That's
so
right.
The committee can make some interesting decisions by the end of the year. And now that there's 12 teams, I can imagine these decisions being a little bit more more interesting.
My only counter to that would be they did that in favor of what? Texas? Right?
Yeah, no, I get it.
I mean, so they might be less inclined to do
case,
that for
yes.
Memphis. Like, whatever.
I get it. So, I get it, but it's not like Florida State didn't beat anybody last year. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. I mean, I 100% agree that there you know, there is a precedent that has been set, and so it's easy to go back to that and say, listen,
they like competition is the point I'm making.
Right, right.
And if they feel as if Liberty cannot deliver that competition, regardless of if they're undefeated or not,
yep.
I guess there is the thought process in the back of all their heads, hey, let's leave them out. We right. gave them a shot last year, and they just shot us in the – I mean, just – I had a coach back in the day said we pat them on their butt and they defecated in my hands. That's what they did last year.
I mean, what you don't want to do if your Boise State of Memphis is have the two losses and give them the chance again to do that, right? To take undefeated over a two loss Boise State or a two loss Memphis. And that's it's pressure. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be that thin a line, that thin a margin, but unfortunately, it feels like, you know, it might be.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on this, Gabe, because obviously you were a part of some very good Memphis football teams, and, you know, there have been good Memphis football teams and that have won AAC championships that have played in Cotton Bowls, but Memphis has never been in a situation quite like the one that it's found itself in now. And what I mean is picked to win the league in the preseason. Paul Feinbaum's out here shouting out Memphis as a team that's going to go to the playoff. College football writers are identifying Memphis like, oh, yo, Memphis is one of those teams that could make it. And, you know, it's a little uncomfortable because, you know, this is just not the role we're used to playing with the Memphis football program. So, you know, one of the things that Nick Saban was best at was, yeah, they pick us every single year to win the national championship. He found ways to keep his guys engaged. It's different because this is the first time that's happened, but I'm curious – you know, what you think goes into that for Ryan Silverfield week to week, especially in a down AAC?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny you bring up Paul Feinbaum, by the way. I mean, the apologies I've heard from him about what he said a couple of years ago about Ryan Silverfield. Wild to hear him apologize.
Yeah.
He said a couple of years ago when I talked about this thing, it was a different situation. I have to, he's got that going right, so let me throw an apology. He doesn't do that often, but what I think goes behind it, what I think Ryan's been preaching to the team is just like, yeah, we have expectations this year. People are writing good things about us. But at the end of the day, we haven't won an AAC championship. That should be motivation enough, right? Like, they have not been able to do that. They haven't won championships. They haven't won at the highest of levels in this conference. So, like, just, you know, putting it into perspective about where they're at right now is the best thing to do. Now, I will say this. There are some teams that fail at this. I've been on, you know, both sides of the coin here. 2015, when the pressure started to get to us, we started reading the headlines about us. We started to struggle a little bit. When we started to read that Fuente was about to leave, we started to struggle a little bit. And I think you saw that, you know, come to life down the stretch of the season. We lost three of our last four. But when we, you know, 2017, when the pressure started to mount, we just sort of compartmentalized it, didn't really talk about it all that much, didn't read all that much, and we ended up in the AAC championship. So I've seen this work in different ways. You know, the question you're asking, what goes into it, I think what Ryan's preaching is, guys, we haven't accomplished anything, and I think that's the right messaging. But, you know, your question, I don't think I can answer affirmatively how this is actually going to look, because I think this is my biggest question about this season. How do you handle the pressure? You know, how do you handle that level of expectation at this point? Because pressure can burst diamond or burst pipes or make diamonds.
Because it's interesting. What makes it interesting is that this group, they ended up having a good season with the bowl exclamation, but they, and I mean this relatively, so don't take it the wrong, but they haven't accomplished anything. They haven't won the conference, right?
Right.
They haven't been close to that discussion. So it's like you're asking them to do something they've never done. Now, they're in a better position to do something than they've ever been in, right? But it's like there's no historical reference, no experience for this staff or this team to fall back. So you just it's totally kind of an unknown.
Yep. So we're just going to – it's something – you know, I did my questions about this team heading into the season last week, and this was my number one question. How are they going to handle the pressure? And I've seen it work in different ways throughout my career, different teams, different personalities. You just hope that this team has the type of personalities that can, you know, stay away from social media, not read all the crazy things written about them, and just move forward every week.
Maybe I want to dive into that a little bit more in the sense I was just a scenario where we know that you talk about pressure, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a ton of pressure on that Memphis defense. And they know that they've got to be, you know, there's got to be a huge step up there to really, right, to complement an offense that you know is going to be high-powered. And so there is a pressure on that side of the ball. And I'm just, as a guy who's been in that locker room, we're talking about pressure and how guys react to it. Have you ever been on a team where, okay, the offense is so far out ahead now that this ain't even funny? You guys on that side are letting us down, and I imagine that can tear apart a locker room. So if you're a coach, you've got to watch out for. I just go back to, and I can't pin it to this, Gabe, but Jeremy Banks and Hooker getting in a fight that a couple of years ago in the locker room, and you see the performance afterwards. Jeremy Banks gets suspended. The Tennessee defense lays down against South Carolina. Oh, by the way, your season's gone to nothing now because of it. So we've seen this happen before, and I just could see a scenario where Memphis's offense is doing what it's supposed to do, and the defense hasn't. How do you protect against that? How do you keep guys all on the same page if one is so much better than the other?
I mean, hell, here's the truth of it. From 2015 on in my career, my defenses were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so frustrating. Getting into that 2017 AAC championship game and scoring 55 and losing because another team had 62. Do you know how frustrating that is? I mean, that just makes you want to pull your hair out.
Yep.
But, you know, in a lot of these biggest moments, if you're winning, most of it cures itself. If you lose a game because your defense gives up 55 points and you can only score 50, that's where it becomes frustrating. That's where you could have a rift.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know how to manage it because I don't even think my team's managed it the best at times. We just won enough to where we just, you know, forgot about it. And I think the more it happens, the more often it happens, I think this program, these offensive players are just used to the defense not pulling their weight
mm-hmm.
enough, right?
Yep.
And I remember back in the day, by the time we got to that AAC championship game where we're losing 62-55, even though we had a great day on offense, ran the ball, threw the ball, did everything we could, we didn't even care about the defense at that point. We weren't even thinking about how badly the defense played because we were so used to it.
I hear you.
Understood that's what came with it.
Yep.
So the rift wasn't that large, but I could see where this year, with all the pressure that's mounting and that feeling in everybody's gut, if the defense can't step up, there definitely could be a rift because I've seen it before with a lot of the teams I've played on. There's no doubt about it. It can definitely make an offense very, very mad at their counterpart.
Gabe,
and then, like, I you'll get the practice, and sometimes defense will get over top of you. But you're like, what are you doing in games, guys?
Yeah, where's this in the games?
You can make all these plays in practice against your second team, but what the hell are you doing in the game? So you can see a rift forming, but we'll have to just see how that plays out.
Yeah. Gabe, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much, brother.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Yes, sir. He is Gabe Kuhn. Catch him from 4 to 7 here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And I think that is the thing. We won't be able to know the answer to the preparation and handling part of that until, I mean.
Well, the only thing that would bring it out and really add fuel to it is losing.
That's right.
Right, you F games, you lose. Because he's right. I mean, the offense last year was probably used to that defense not getting stops. And you know what you got to do against SMU. You just come up short. You know, you got to go out there and score. But in a season like this where the expectation's so high and you really can't afford to lose any
mm-hmm.
of these games.
Mm-hmm.
You lose one because the defense and the offense has done its part. You could see something like that happening again. Tennessee a couple of years ago.
Exactly. Exactly right. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Friday. Jason and John, Audie Turner FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be your best friend. If you're a first-time home buyer, you may have a lot of questions. You may have some anxiety about the process. And that's where they come in. They're going to calm you down, take you through everything, and help you find the home of your dreams. If you're on the selling side here, they're going to help you make the most money for your home with their network of contacts, buyers. It's what they do every single day. Reach out, soldtolivelovememphis.com.
Made my little $100,000 home look like a $200,000 home. When they sold that thing, I couldn't even believe that was my home in the pictures. Jennifer knows what she's doing on that presentation. She's going to get you top dollar for your home, and as she did for my family, we're very grateful and still helped us on the buying side as well in terms of picking that dream home. Helped us look at a few, and they were very instrumental in saying, I think this one's the one for you. Ended up being wife fell in love I'll forever be indebted to Jennifer Carson. And if I do it again, I'm going to be calling 625-5200, 625-5200. It's the Live Love Group. And I suggest you do the same. Everybody we've sent over has had nothing but success story. Anybody complain, John, after we've sent them over to Live Love Real Talk?
Oh,
none.
Never.
Zero. We got 100% hit rate. So the least you do, give them a call. And at the very least, she's going to be a great resource for you. Speaking of Jennifer Carsonson, 625-5200 is the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Heating up at the FESJC out there at TPC Southwind. Tie at the top, baby. Dennis McCarthy, I think that's his name, right? Denny McCarthy and Hideki Matsuyama tied at 11 under. I think Matsuyama would count as a big win, right? That's a guy we're behind. We're cool with that, right, Brad?
Absolutely.
Just want to get engaged.
Matsuyama is a big name. Yeah, absolutely. He's a winner.
However, Scotty had a fantastic day.
Well, that's what we need.
5 under on the day.
Correct.
9
today?
Under for the tournament.
So he's 9 under for the tournament.
Okay, he's rolling now. That's good.
66
that's what you want.
65.
Coming in the weekend hot.
Yeah.
Hideki and Denny are going to have to keep it up if they want to hold off old Scotty, because he is absolutely coming down the pie.
Imagine if that happens, though. Then you have the Scotty Scheffler wins Memphis.
Exactly.
That'd be big.
Exactly. I'm trying to think who else might be involved in this mix. I mean,
Kurt came into today with a one-stroke lead. Now he's 5 behind the lead. That's how quickly he can.
He may not even finish in the top 10. Yeah.
Sam Burns is sitting there a stroke behind a 10.
Yeah, Rory is not really in contention. He was 1 over today, or is 1 over on the day, I should say.
Denny's 7 under today, though, looks like. Oh, and then Victor Hovland was 7 under today. So was Burns.
Spieth is having a terrible day. He is 4 over.
Is he good anymore?
He doesn't have the magic lately.
2 over for the tournament. Yeah. But yeah, the worst day though belonged to Max Homa, who dropped 28 spots in the leaderboard, and he is now 7 over for the tournament. I don't know what the hell went wrong with Max.
He was 8 over today.
Yeah, that's rough. But yeah, it feels like it's going to come down to Hideki or Scotty. And Scotty was the pre-tournament favorite, obviously, at just plus 330. It's amazing. That's the kind of run he's on, man.
Were you saying it'll be a little bit cooler this weekend or no?
I don't remember if I gave you a forecast for the weekend.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have to continue to check on that.
Yeah, a little bit. I was right. Not down from 96 today to 93s for the highs on Saturday. Again, you're still going to sweat, but it's not quite as hot as the first couple of days have been.
Not enough to get me excited, though, bro.
You know, the burial reprieve doesn't come until next week. 88, 85.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna catch some rays, some hot rays, brother.
Yeah, you're gonna catch some rays.
Dress accordingly, people.
That's right. I mean, what's the opposite of wear layers? I mean, whatever that is, that's what I would recommend for sure out there this weekend.
Looks like it'd be some good golf, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's
low numbers.
You get the $3.6 million purse. For the winner, and you start.
No, that's split. So that's
up,
total purse.
Right, the whole, that's
total
purse,
purse.
The whole thing.
Oh, I thought it was
about $1 or $2 million, maybe for the winner. But
feel like it was two or something.
It might be two bills.
I think
holy crap,
might be right.
Is it three?
Up to three something?
Is it three for one winner? Because it's a championship.
Yeah, I had the same initial reaction.
Holy
as you,
crap!
I was like two or something.
Yeah, I thought I think I looked this
one
up.
One winner, three bills.
Yeah. I think that's correct.
Man, I wish I would have golfed.
The old one was like $1 million to $2 million. But I think the championship is, because Lucas won 3.6.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So that's why it's a big deal that it got switched to a, FedEx deal, because you get that money.
Yeah.
Doubles or triples.
You'll talk about how great the barbecue is.
Yeah, for sure. Oof. Get that $4 million payout. Pew, get the hell up out of Dodge. That'll make my year. That'll make my year, man.
Give me a 17th place finish.
Amen.
Exactly. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Gabe Kuhn for joining us. Thanks to Brooks Monning, and thanks to Anthony Sain as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.